Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Simon Barrett, and welcome to the program. Joining me on the panel this week is the always colorful John Perry. John, welcome.
Hey, Simon, I understand congratulations in order on winning Employee of the Month over at the Possum Creek Outdoor Swap Meet running the soft pretzel kiosk. Congrats.
Yeah.
That's your day job, I hear.
This is one of the reasons that I always enjoy having John on the program. Pretty hard to nail him down on a sensible answer, but man, can he give you some insensible answers?
Be nice, Simon. I don't want Jan putting you in the doghouse.
Right. And also on the program today, we have author, activist, and barkeep, and tremendously interesting person, Sam Moffey. Sam, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Thank you for that awesome interview. I think I'll hang up now. I don't want to get anybody going on that one. And looking forward to another great show and lively entertainment with John and you and discussing the week's month's issues.
Hey, Sam, before we get started, I want to ask you something real quick off any subject. I just was rereading a favorite book of mine, and I wanted to give the guy a plug because he's a writer in Cleveland, Terry Pluto.
You like
if you haven't heard of him, check him out. He's a
yeah, I know.
Writer.
He's a well written, well informed.
I think he writes
for
The Plain Dealer.
Yeah.
But I wanted to give the guy props. I really enjoy his writing.
No, he's a very good writer. He's really got his finger on the pulse when it comes to the Browns and the Indians and the Cavaliers. I'm not a big Cavs fan, but so anyway. Let's
all right,
go,
Simon. Go ahead. You can hammer us now.
Okay. Well, I'll start this off with something that I know both of you will get a huge giggle about. This morning, my wife offered to take me to the local gas station so I could buy cigarettes. It was warm, but it wasn't hot. So, I had the window cracked on the car. I get out and I happen to poke one finger in the in the window. Guess what she did? Closed the stinking window.
Right.
even though she wasn't planning on getting out of the car, and it was going to be left running. Oh man, did that hurt!
Do you have a Band-Aid on?
Nah, nothing was broken. Other than a few harsh words. Don't do that. Okay. To be honest with the pair of you, I really don't have a really big story this week. There are so many smaller news stories that I think deserve to be talked about. And I want to kick off with Wiener's Wiener. Should he remove himself from becoming the mayor of New York? I hear silence. No one wants to talk about Anthony Weiner's.
I was just being polite. You want to go first, Sam?
John, you're reading. Great minds think alike. I'll go first. Yes, I think you should.
All right.
All right.
But I think the voters are going to speak louder than any of my voices, and I think they're going to put that that Quinnen. I think she's kind of got all the big mo behind her, as they say in politics.
Okay, but you know, even with the Wiener scandal, yeah, it's fun just to say it. He's still running second in the polls, and as I understand it, unless that there is a a definitive winner, they'll go into a toss off. Oh no, I shouldn't have said that.
You're bad.
Yeah, there'll be a second go round. I mean, Sam, should Wiener just get out of the picture?
Yes. Yeah. No question about it. I would think if I was Quinn's advisors, is that her name, Quinn?
Yeah.
Okay. If I was Quinn's advisors, I would want him to come in second. I think they have to get a majority of the vote. It's 51% or it's 40%. I can't remember.
Oh, it's the primary.
Right. No, the top two vote. If they're all under, I think it's like 11 people running or something like that, isn't it, Simon? They're all under a certain amount, and there's a runoff, and then there's the general election in November. There is a Republican who's unopposed, but from what my friends and family have said in New York, it doesn't matter who wins. That the end is coming to New York City. Mm-hmm. It's really becoming it's going to go back. It's become a wonderful city under Giuliani, Bloomberg. They cleaned it up. They dumped a ton of money into the city, the tourism. It's 42nd Street. You don't get raped, killed, pillaged, and plummet when you run around. But in order to do that, Bloomberg jacked up the fees, the this, the that. And it's very, very expensive to live there, more than it ever has been. Very, very expensive to buy stuff there. Food, go out to eat. There's all sorts to run a business there. My son-in-law had one there. He had inspectors there every day. A great example, he had a bar in Manhattan, beautiful Irish pub. Simon, you would have loved it. When he first opened the place up, the inspectors would come in. In New York City, they get a letter grade. I don't know if you're familiar with New York City. Restaurants and bars get a letter grade, just like in school, A, B, C, D, E, F. A bad letter grade, dropping a grade, can drop your business down as much as 20%. So when the inspectors come in and they take the A out of your window and put a B in there, it's a big damn deal. Well, that hardly ever happened until Bloomberg took over the last couple of years and increased the amount of money fire and police were getting paid, especially police. And all of a sudden, inspectors were coming in 24/7, and they would find anything that they could to make you pay a fine and whatnot, one, to justify their existence, and two, to grab as much money as they could from the small business owners. So that's going to continue, but the current crop of candidates have all said they want to cut the fire, cut the police, cut all that, and put all that extra money into social programs.
All right, so Wiener's.
So people,
Wiener's wanting to cut off the Wiener.
They're all going to do. Just like Detroit, we talked about last week. Bloomberg, all the people running are all for maintaining this giant bureaucracy. I'll give you a great example. My son-in-law said when he spoke to one of the inspectors, and let me tell you what they found wrong with him once and shut his bar down. They have a safety. You go to CVS, the pharmacy, you get one of those, a thing in the kitchen with Band-Aids in it. Alcohol rub, a Band-Aid.
First aid kit.
Thank you. Thank you, John. Yeah, first aid kit. Well, they opened up the first aid kit, and they were missing a pair of surgical gloves. They shut the bar down. Get what's across the street from the bar? A hospital. That's open 24/7, a huge hospital, but they shut them down so the place was unsafe. They had everything else going for it. They took everybody out of the bar, and then it cost them probably $10,000 in gross sales. And so then he had to run around, pay the fine, get the new thing, have the inspector come in. Well, lo and behold, he finally spoke to someone and said, you know, what's going on here with the shakedown? And they said, well, you know, it's a money grab because a year ago the city only generated $800 million. Now they're generating $8 million. Now, last year they generated $800 million, guys, in fines to people's businesses in the city of New York in Manhattan. $800 million for things like that.
That's terrible.
But that's what happened in Detroit. So, and all the candidates that are in there are all basically drumbeating that same sort of philosophy in Manhattan, and that's caused my son-in-law, my daughter-in-law, my grandson, they moved. They moved to Long Island. They you know, sell the business and opened up another one somewhere and not have to deal with that. And that's the, you know, the killing the goose that laid the golden egg. Those are the people who, kept the city running. And that's what happened in Detroit. And that's what's happened. That's what happens at our federal government. This bureaucracy just keeps on growing and living. And the party has to exist and find more patronage jobs and give jobs to the donors. And, right? You know, it's a very vicious cycle that all of us citizens of whatever community we live in, whether it's California, whether it's Ohio, or Simon, and, you know, you're in your neck of the woods, that's what happens. Now, when you're on that gravy train, it's a wonderful thing, isn't it, guys?
Right. I've never been on it. But,
no, I wouldn't know.
It sure sounds fun.
But that's what's happening. But what I see, and, you know, basically Manhattan is going to, and this comes from a lot of my friends and family. I have a lot of friends who live there, and family, obviously, have said it's just not going to be the same. It's going to, and, you know, enjoy it while you can, because, and it is, it's a, last time my wife and I were there, we were at, this was right before Hurricane Sandy, and that area of lower Manhattan did get, destroyed. I don't even know if it's been rebuilt. I haven't been back there since last October. But when we went out, I was amazed at the South American presence in the Lower East Side of Lower East Side of Manhattan. If you're familiar with that, Delancey Street, and those areas, Houston Street and all that, I was just amazed at the amount of people there. And then the next morning when we got up, it looked like downtown Brazil after the Mardi Gras or whatever they have there, because the street was disgusting. It was filthy. Just people just throwing stuff everywhere. I never used to see that. And I used to see that in New York in the 80s when you would go to visit it, just filth, you know, everywhere. And that's what you're seeing again. I think there's so many people there. It's expensive as hell to live there, yet it's better where they were. And that's what's going on. Oh, John, you'll love this. There's lawyers advertising in New York City on the radio, television, and whatnot, saying if you're an illegal worker, call their number and they'll get you restitution from the people you're working for because you're not being paid what you should be getting paid.
Yeah.
I like that, John and Simon. Now, if they're doing that, if lawyers are doing that, Mr. Inspector for the City of New York can't be far behind before they start, crawling into every business and seeing who's illegal and who isn't.
Okay. I know that John is just chomping at the bit. John, have at it.
I'm not sure I appreciate that analogy on this topic, Simon. I'm kind of appalled, actually. Nauseous. Because from what I understand, this isn't a small story. Sources close to the investigation tell me Wiener's a full screen. But that's not from my own investigation. Well, Simon, let me ask you, do you want the long and short of it or the elongated version?
Well, you know, I'm going to ask you a yes-no question, and I know I won't get a yes-no answer.
Please don't say I'm salivating or anything like that.
No. Do you think it's appropriate that Wiener should be showing his wiener to young ladies?
I think the guy's a pervert, of course. I would think any decent thinking person would. He's got a lot of psychological problems. I'm sure he would be a psychiatrist's dream to have as a patient. I'm sure his wife would be as well. They're both a couple pieces of work.
Okay, so that was a really short answer.
Just an individual,
if that's
what you're asking me, of course.
He needs
a lot of help. He should be in therapy. And
that's possibly the shortest answer you've ever given to any question I've asked.
Well, I was going to say, but on the other hand, I think as far as being mayor, he could grow into the position.
Shouldn't this be a topic for Conan O'Brien and move on?
I'm sure it is.
Okay.
But
how about
let me say this real quick as far as his wife. There comes a point where I think you move from victim to co-conspirator, and I think she ceased to become a victim years ago. Like her mentor, Hillary. I think that's the more interesting story. But I don't know if that'll ever be covered.
But they
were going to be the next power couple, and his peccadillos derailed both their aspirations.
Have either of you gentlemen been following the events in San Diego? Yeah. 70-year-old mayor who apparently does not need any Viagra.
Yeah, Filner, I think his name is.
Right. Yeah. Where's that going to end up?
I guess that guy's in therapy too. You know, I think he was in the House as well. Now he's the mayor of San Diego. For people who don't know, he was the first Democrat elected in years. And to mayor of San Diego, and I guess he takes liberties with his subordinates, and he's in therapy now for what is he, a sexual addict, Simon?
Yeah, that. But he's not actually claiming that.
Oh, I thought he admitted it and said he needs help, and he's going to be attending therapy, but he's also going to be conducting the affairs of the city.
Right. Yeah. From his rehab.
Multitasking, he's going to cut down on his affairs and also work on his other ones, I guess.
Right.
I don't know. It's just hilarious. That's one reason I hope Wiener doesn't drop out, because it's so humorous.
Well, I think if Wiener drops out, you know, there should be a whole bunch of people supporting him by sending him Viagra.
that would just be creating dozens, if not hundreds, more victims across the internet. I mean, imagine when the guy gets stressed out, if he has to pass a budget or something, or if there's a union problem. I mean, I pity the poor women across the country.
Okay. How about Elliot Spitzer?
Client number nine.
Pretty... Right. You know, what's going on here? You know, why are these idiots, you know, running for office when they just absolutely shouldn't be?
Yeah, but Simon, didn't you tell me you used to watch a show on CNN and you liked it?
Sure.
He wasn't that show wasn't that good. It wasn't on that long, was it? He went off the air pretty quickly.
I never watched it, but I heard it was terrible, but I remember Simon saying he watched it a few times, so... Maybe he's a better commentator.
You know what
than
I don't understand about him? You know what I understand about him? He's an only child of one of the richest men in Manhattan. His father is one of the largest commercial landlords in the city. I mean, they've got a ton of money. I mean, just, you know, oodles of it. He couldn't spend it all if he started today and lived to be 150. He's the only child and whatever, and he's been running after he left the governorship. He was running it, and then he decided to leave that and get back into politics. I don't understand why. That more than anything, I don't understand why he just wouldn't enjoy that wealth. And his, I guess his wife left him. I think she's divorcing him now. I think over there, according to what I read a blog somewhere, the wife said, if you get back into politics, you know, that's it, I'm done. And he said he just couldn't stop. He wants to be that. He thinks this is the way of, becoming back in the political life, and that's what he's going to do. I mean, my thing was, hey, buddy, you got that type of money, just make donations to the right presidential candidate and become ambassador to Bermuda. I mean, what? You know, go that way. But
no, how about
you know,
just being a philanthropist and try to help people, maybe start
I mean, it's not like, you know, like the other guy needs a job. That's obvious. Okay? But this Spitzer's got, I said, they're terrifically wealthy, and it boggles my mind after his fall from grace.
I think he just wants to control the levers of power, Sam. He's a control freak.
He must be. His one I don't understand because that's it. And maybe.
Not only that, when he was the Attorney General in New York, he was prosecuting prostitution cases and soliciting them on the side. The guy obviously should have.
Obviously, with Spitzer, it is a guy who power.
Yeah.
Because he used his power as the inspector
power
to go after the Wall Street people. And I think he's one of those guys because he had so much money that he thought he was above the law, regardless of what he was doing. And
yeah, no doubt about that, even prosecuting people for the same crime he was committing. And he never even was charged. I don't understand that. Why was that madam who he was patronizing charged, but he wasn't?
I think that was part of his plea deal, John, that he resigned as governor.
Oh, so he was held to a lower standard because he was in office.
That's correct.
Right.
Good point.
But John,
that should be a bumper sticker. Hold me to a lower standard on political office.
Right. John, just think about Nixon.
Right?
I mean, he was held to a much lower standard because he was in office.
That's a good point, too. Nixon was held to a law. They all are, regardless of the crimes. So why?
Well, we could argue that, Simon, but I think in honor of the Wiener story, it all goes back to the whistleblower on that one, Deep Throat.
Why do we Americans put up with a government like this, where the guy who's living, held to a lowest, because they're in political office, they commit a crime like Nixon, or who are still in the blank, because there's so many of them, and they retire with pensions. They retire, even if they commit all sorts of crimes. I'm not going to retire. They get everything they want. Our local congressman here, James Traffican, went to prison for 8 years for misusing his power and selling favors and selling votes and doing all sorts of stuff. He didn't go to jail for 8 years. I mean, they threw the book at him. However, he'd been in office 18 years. You know what his pension is? $40,000.
I got to say, Sammy, I always liked him because he was a maverick, and I don't want to litigate his case, but as I understand it, they finally got him on something like remodeling his house.
A lot of his staffers were doing it and getting paid by the taxpayers to do it.
I didn't really know. I thought because he was so outspoken, they just targeted him, to be honest.
Well, that's part of it. Well, part of it, a lot of people said if he wouldn't have represented himself and spent some of his first communion money, because he still has it, he would have probably been hired a good lawyer. He probably would have got off and won.
Or how about if he just had gone with a different hairstyle?
He was a terrible dresser. But I think at the end of, if you saw him give his plea in front of Congress, He got up there and it was terrible. The guy was had a lot of charisma. A lot of people loved when he was a sheriff. His claim to fame was during the Great Steel Meltdown in the 70s here, where 30,000 people lost their jobs. Naturally, the banks went after to foreclose on everybody instead of trying to help people. You know, the banks couldn't wait to foreclose on all these steel workers. He, to his credit, refused to foreclose on them. They stuck him in jail. And
I didn't know that. I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, and then he ran for office. And it's amazing when you know, we talk about it, you hear about all these, and then that's how he got elected to Congress and, you know, the rest of his history. And then he served for 18 years. And, you know, he said they can't touch his pension. They can't touch any other stuff. And, you know, he lives down the street from me. He lives pretty well. But, you know, that's the problem. You know, all these guys, they commit crimes, or men or women in office, and no one can go after the pension. It's sort of like at least O.J. Simpson had to create, remember, as Peter described to us, he had to create all these corporations, fund it, then bankrupt the company, and he'd be the beneficiary of it. These politicians just blatantly get the money. While Trafficant was sitting in jail, he was getting his pension check every month. And it helped, you know.
Okay. But, you know, that's the way the system is.
But why do we allow it? That's not the same system for Joe, for any other citizen. If they commit a crime and they go to jail and they have a trial and they're found guilty, the government comes and seizes everything. I can't, right? I mean, this guy, he underreported his income by $188,000 or something like that. And I don't remember all the details. John, you're right. The way he used, if he got somebody a contract or did a favor for them, that person had to do something at his farm. Got it?
Right.
So if he got somebody, so that's what he did. Or if he would help somebody land a government contract.
With
Pro Quo. Right, exactly. And I'm sure he's not the only one. We know he's not the only one. But none of them will help.
Look, Charlie Rangel, he skated.
They all, right, exactly.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly.
Well, I mean what bothers me is the whole Nixon thing. I mean, all Nixon was trying to do was provide transparency, you know, through the tapes. And, you know, he ended up losing his presidency.
Simon, that wasn't the reason. That was a big error in judgment to even make the tapes, much less turn them over. He should have just refused, but Nixon was not transparent. He never claimed to be. I really thought he was establishing his legacy in later years, but...
Come on, John. The guy was one of the all-time bad guys you don't want in public office. From the time he went after Alger Hiss, this guy's one of Joe McCarthy's boys.
Alger Hiss, the guy was a proven spy.
He was a thief, and he was a crook, and he was this is a guy, you read a great book about him, it's called Arrogance of Power, who was such a sick person, he drove Pat Nixon, who was his wife, who broke up with him, he would drive her and her boyfriend while they had sex in the back seat, and he'd sit in the front seat.
And you believe that garbage?
I don't believe it's garbage at all.
Okay.
It's all verifiable.
Okay. All right, John.
Oh, let's talk. Wait a minute, John. Let's not talk. I'll take out that. Is that the mind of someone who's not thinking straight? Forget about that. Let's talk about B.B. Rebozo. Let's talk about Donald Nixon and his relationship with Howard Hughes as a bad man. I mean, come on. The guy's a crook, always has been a crook. You know, and then when he became president, look what he did. I will say one thing for him. He was way ahead of his time. He wanted to spy. His problem was he didn't want to spy on everybody. He just wanted to spy on the Democrats. Nixon was way ahead of his time. Obama wanted to put a microphone in everybody's house. Nixon only wanted to put him in his political enemy's house.
We spend a whole show on that. I don't want to bore people, but I just want to say, Whittier Poets Rule, that was his alma mater.
Right. Didn't he go to Duke, too?
I don't know where he went to law school.
I think he went to Duke.
Okay.
Nixon's a hit, you know, the bad guy ended up, you know, like it was a terrible, you know, you don't like Obama because he goes against the Constitution, then you can't like Nixon. Because Nixon wiped his ass with the Constitution.
I certainly had some problems with what he did, like the price controls and everything else. But
how about he's one of the great guys to take the federal money and what did he call it? Not urban renewal. That's what they call it. What did he call it when he gave the money? He would share money with the poor Democratic cities who were going broke. He had a special name for it. I forget what it was called. It was he was the guy who gave us those wonderful nonprofit groups that do community development block grants. That's it. He was the champion of all that. And look at Detroit, and look at all the other big cities that take that money and subsidize stadiums, subsidize for millionaires, subsidize real estate developments for millionaires and all that, you know, when it wasn't supposed to go for all that. Nixon was a terrible president. And ways and all that. But what are we talking about Richard Nixon for? Let's talk about Barack Obama and the NSA.
Oh, perfect. That is the absolute segue I was looking for. Okay. What happened this week with the NSA vote? Most Americans don't like the idea of being spied on, but guess what? It squeaked through the House. Anyone want to talk about that?
Sure.
Go ahead, Sam.
Okay, I'm just going to go on this. I thought it was, and I talked to Simon briefly about it before the show, John. We always hear from our mainstream media, the MSNBCs, the ABCs, the CBS, the Foxes, there's no cooperation between the political parties.
Well, why are you putting Fox in mainstream media? Strike that.
Well, they are part of the mainstream media.
Oh, they aren't.
Yeah,
they're
okay.
Mavericks.
Part of the big. How about big media conglomerate? Will you buy that one?
They're not part of the mainstream media. If they were, I wouldn't watch them. Go ahead.
Okay. I guess that's what your definition of is. There's no cooperation in Washington. Well, there was on Tuesday or Wednesday when they had to vote by second-year congressman Justin Amash out of Michigan, who's a libertarian part of the Republican Party. He's aligned with Rand and Ron Paul, won his district candidly, and he had an amendment to a defense bill that was going to call for the end of snooping on Americans. That is existing, as we all found out when Mr. Snowden went public, and we all found out, we're being spied on by everybody. And his amendment failed 217 to 205, and his coalition was Libertarian Republicans and Liberal Democrats who were opposed by the status quo of both their parties, in this word, the leadership. So John Boehner, Nancy Pelosi are for spying on Americans, and a lot of other Congress people who are not. And it was a pretty much bipartisan support, so you can say that depending on the issue, when it comes to spying in the House of Representatives, just about half of Congress is for it, and just about half isn't. As far as the Senate goes, three-quarters of the senators are for spying on Americans, and about a quarter of them are not. They're made up of both parties. So the status quo of Washington, D.C., because of that way they can continue to have complete control over all of us, is going to continue. Backed by a president who, when he was a senator and a candidate, was against all this stuff.
John, does it bother you that your phone may be tapped, your emails may be tracked?
I don't like it, Simon, but I got to say, how successful are they, these idiots who would be tapping the phones and reading the emails when they couldn't even find out that Carlos Danger was sending out pictures of his penis. So how closely are they really monitoring everything? And they didn't even follow up on those Zarnayev brothers. I wouldn't mind half as much if they were ever effective. But it seems like all they ever do is get bogged down in minutia and collecting information, but they never act on it or do anything positive with it. And it seems like you read about stuff, and if a terrorist act or something's exposed, like Carlos Danger, it comes from the average citizen anyway. Nothing to do with the government. I don't know.
Well, it bothers me slightly.
Well, how come they didn't know who Carlos Danger was then?
Right. It bothers me. I don't do anything bad. You know, I'm not a terrorist, but I know damn well that, you know, probably all of my emails, all of my phone calls are being tracked. Now,
right. Yeah, I never get any, but Simon, I don't know about you, but I never get any provocative emails except from UEL0409, but I have no idea who that is.
Right. But, you know, right, you're a well-read person. You've read Orwell's 1984. Terrible book. But, you know, he actually gets it right. Aren't we living in, you know, his 1984 world right now?
I think we're getting there, absolutely, and that's why Sam and I were, you know, Ron Paul supporters. Now we're Rand Paul supporters, and him probably a little more so than me, or passionately. But yeah, of course I'm concerned by that. It's none of the government's business. They should be getting out of our affairs and concentrate on
running the damn country.
Well, or the actual
paving the road,
the country.
Paving the roads, making sure buildings don't get, cities don't go bankrupt, helping people who fall through the cracks, educating our kids and things of that nature, you know, providing, what the Constitution calls for. I'm against the NSA and all that stuff, and because as that great quote goes by Ben Franklin, I'm going to paraphrase, those that give up secure liberty in the name of security get neither. And he was right. And that's the precious thing about liberty. We have to put up with a lot of stuff, and because small things, in order for the big picture of liberty. And you're right, Simon. We live in it. Not only is it's part Animal Farm, it's part 1984, it's part Brave New World, it's part Fahrenheit 451. All those great writers. And, you know, think about it. You know, were really right on what was going to happen. I mean, when did he wrote 1984, what, in the late 40s?
He wrote it in 48. It was,
yeah, 48, right? Yeah, he turned the 48 around, right, for 84. And think about that. The government doublespeak that we have. It's just amazing. Another great short story about this sort of stuff is by Kurt Vonnegut called The Harrison Bergeron, about what was gonna, what government could do if it was unchecked. By the people. We are the problem. We don't deserve this government, but we get it, because it's so difficult to beat this entrenched army of status quo Republicans and Democrats, as Rand Paul found out Thursday, 3 years before the next presidential election, with Fatso firing a couple of shots across his bow, because he wants to keep that war economy going.
I guess I know where you stand on that feud.
Yeah. I think he's going to be in for a rude awakening, John. He's the libertarian movement and the Republican. If you want to see a Republican Party resurgent, it has to come to the not the Tea Party wing, not the establishment wing. We've seen what the Republican establishment wing has done in the last two presidential elections. Got their asses kicked. And they're going to, if they go for Chris Christie, they're going to get their asses kicked again, because he's a neocon. He's already been meeting with the big Republican donors, the same old guys. Let's keep this war economy going. Let's keep it going. And we have to spy.
Yeah, but
keep
Sam, if either side remains ideologically pure, like Ron Paul did, that's what used to annoy me. After the primaries, he would never make peace and support the candidate, and he split the party, and we're going to lose.
Well, Ron Paul did not split the party. I mean,
he never supported Romney.
There was no way Mitt Romney was going to you could see it coming after the 43%. You could see it coming.
Why not try to unite the party?
Obama kicked Romney's ass whether Ron Paul supported him or not. Would you agree, Simon?
Oh, absolutely.
It was
like playing whack-a-mole.
Yeah.
That's not true, Sam. If Romney had received the same amount of votes as McCain, as I understand it, he would have won.
McCain did better against Obama than Romney. That's how bad of a candidate Romney was.
Both candidates received less votes this last election.
Right, I understand that but it didn't matter. You know, Romney
stayed home, and I got to blame Ron Paul for some of that.
Yeah, you can. I don't think he did. I don't think he had any effect. Because Romney's people, I don't know why. You know, that 43. We can go back and say that. Obviously, that Democratic.
I'm just saying, whichever side wins, I think they got to unite at the end.
I think what's going to happen. I think both sides are so the left run by the Nancy Pelosi's Harry Reid wing of the party. Not the Ron Wyden from Oregon, who seems to be a decent guy, and the far right wing, the John McCain, Lindsey Graham wing of the party, they're destroying it. But I think what's going to happen is the birth of a third party that's going to be libertarian on social issues, on smaller government, but also be a caring one. You know, be open. Say there's nothing wrong with gay marriage if that's what people want to do. We're not going to punish people for that. We're not going to make abortion like this moron Rick Perry in Texas has done. That's a good way to win an actual election. Let's limit women's right to have abortion. You know, John, I sent Rick Perry's office an email. I said, are you familiar with this Supreme Court of the United States of America? Because they said abortion's legal. Last time I checked, that's the law of the land. Whether we like it or not, that's the law of the land.
I think they were trying to outlaw abortion after like 24 weeks, so... But
abortion's legal. I mean, it's like, what do you keep bringing that? What do you keep pushing that rock up like Sisyphus? Did I pronounce that right, Simon?
Because some people are passionate about the issue, just like you are on other issues.
Yeah,
this is a bullshit issue.
Yeah, it's a bullshit issue. It's a red herring.
Right. You know, a woman has her rights. It's not up to me, you, or anyone else to tell her what she can or cannot do. And, you know, isn't there a deal coming down in Texas? You know, maybe I've got it wrong. You know, 6 weeks. That's the open window.
No, I think it was like 24 weeks, but I'm not sure. It's when the fetus becomes viable.
Yeah, but John, my attitude is, you know, I think it's the law of the land. Just like the Republicans keep trying to defund Obamacare. Hello, last summer, Bush's guy Roberts voted for the majority, made it legal. So now that it's made legal, shouldn't you be working to make it the best way possible? Now, I'm against the nationalization of the healthcare industry, but that's what's happened. And the Supreme Court said it was legal.
It's rotten to the core.
It is a terrible plan. I agree with you. It is terrible, but it doesn't matter. It was made legal.
It's rotten
by the Supreme
to the core. All right. What matters is the fact that the Republicans in the House, I believe it's 35 times, have held votes to. Derail it. Well, it's not happening.
Well,
you know,
didn't Obama derail it by not implementing the employer mandate portion of it? Isn't he doing his own part?
Look. You know, it's been signed into law.
But why not implement it?
John, just be quiet. Why can't the folks that, you know, get paid great money and have great pension schemes, you know, as Sam talked about before, move on and do something constructive. I mean, when was the last time, you know, the house actually did anything constructive? And the answer is years ago. All they do right now is nothing.
Well, Simon, I agree with you. My thing was, look, I did not like it, okay? I don't like a lot of things in this world. But once it goes to our constitutional government, and which was supposed to be supportive of, which I am, and the Constitution, the Supreme Court said, it's the law of the land. The only one who can overrule the Supreme Court is the Almighty. The Almighty has not come down and said, hey, this is a bad deal, everybody. Haven't heard from the Almighty on this. But we've heard from the Supreme Court. Then it should have been up to both sides, and you're absolutely right, John Perry. Obama should stop changing this, moving the goalpost. I agree with you that once the Supreme Court said this is kosher, both sides should have got together and said, all right, how do we make this work? Okay, we have to make it work because it got passed. Let's make it work because the American people deserve better, because we have great pensions. We have great health care. Why shouldn't these son of a bitches that support us have it? But because both sides are so dug in about not working together, we got the Keystone Cops version of Obamacare. And you're right, John. Obama's wrong for keep changing it, and Republicans are wrong for keep trying to change the funding of it. Because the fact of the matter is, it's going to happen because the Supreme Court said it's going to happen. And yet, then again, what do we have? We got this moron, Rick Perry, and believe me, I think that's a real insult to morons out there after watching him. He's going to make the abortion laws different. But abortion's legal. What they should be doing is offering abortion to people so they don't have to go to the... And what these guys are going to do, they want to go back to the dark ages and make people have to be ashamed that they want to get an abortion, to do this or that, and probably go visit doctors who aren't qualified to take care of that and keep the mothers safe and properly dispose of the fetus. And that's terrible. Like that butcher in Philadelphia. Is that what we want? Oh, it's legal, but you have to go to the butcher in Philadelphia to have your operation. And I'm not for that. You know, I mean, you know, we have a constitution. The constitution said it's legal. Move on, Republican Party, please.
Okay, John's gone quiet.
He told me to shut up.
Right. Oh, well, now you can talk.
I was fortifying myself with some M&Ms. What were we talking about, Simon?
That's what happens. That's what happens when you eat M&Ms.
And Snickers.
Brain food.
Yes. John, how do you feel about How do you feel about what Chris Christie did Thursday at the Governors Association?
I don't mind it. I like robust debate. That's why we're here. But I just think we need to come together at the end and stand behind the nominee. I'm more a Rand Paul type of guy, but I would certainly support Chris Christie even if I don't agree with him on everything. But I'm not going to agree with anyone on everything. I'm not a Democrat. I'm not going to. I can't practice disciplined acquiescence to the party line. I'm an independent thinker. I'm going to agree with some people on some things and agree on others. But at the end of the day, I got to go with the best candidate overall and not try to retain this ideological purity, which a lot of the Ron Paul supporters, and I myself included maybe when I was younger, would try to hold. But I guess I'm more pragmatic now.
And I would not support Chris Christie for president.
Yeah, see what I mean? Right. And he needs your vote. Guys like you.
Well, I don't know. Right now, I wouldn't. I'm going to support Ron Paul.
No, that's what I'm saying.
Listen, I don't know who the Democrat's going to be.
I mean,
but I don't know who the Democrat's going to be. And by the way, John, who counts my votes anyway? We don't know.
Where you live.
That's right. Thank you. Okay?
Yeah.
I mean, don't think that's not a concern of mine either. And I'm going to support I think it's obvious that we've had this president in office for 5 years. We've had two ideological extremes as president. We've had George Bush, who's been a failure for 8 years. Versus Barack Obama for 5 years. Now, Obama can still, he's still got 3 years to, you know, he could change things around. I mean, that is possible. I would like to see the country benefit. I don't want you to come to go down the toilet. Okay. Unfortunately, after 8 years of Bush and 5 years of Obama, we're going down the toilet, because even Chris Christie himself said in this quote, when it came to foreign policy, Barack Obama's foreign policy is working because he hasn't changed anything that George Bush did. Now, you want to puke?
I don't agree with that, but
you're against Obama, but he supports your foreign policy that your boy Bush put in.
No, I don't support that. But overall, the guy's a good candidate. He seems like a nice guy. And I like.
Oh, there's a good reason to vote for somebody. He's a nice guy.
Yeah, he seems like a nice guy. You know, he likes junk.
And pound for pound, you can't go wrong.
That's
well, you want someone in shape? Go Anthony Weiner, I guess.
No, you know what? You know what, Simon? I guarantee Jay Leno and David Letterman want Chris Christie to be president because you have to get a fat jokes. Oi.
Right.
Your comic writers would be in the heaven. You know, he's got more chins than
the guy. Don't demonize the guy. He's got a lot of good ideas. He seems to have turned around New Jersey somewhat.
No, I don't know about that, John. I don't like his ideas. Simon and I are both this way. We do not want to be the policeman for the world anymore.
Most people don't. But, that's
but Chris Christie
one...
does. Chris Christie does. So right there, he loses me.
Oh, you don't think Hillary would? What's the difference?
No, I'm not for Hillary. I don't know that Hillary's going to be the president, but we know she's not. We don't know if she's running or not. You know Chris Christie is, because he wouldn't have won after Rand Paul. Now, Rand Paul's got a big decision to make, John. He has to run for Senate or the presidency. I think he's going to go for the Senate. I don't think he's going to run for president.
He can't do both?
No, I don't think so. Kentucky's not like Texas.
I was going to say, Lyndon Johnson did.
That's what I mean. See, I read too.
Ran for vice president and senator.
And congressman and a couple other things, too. It's all at the same time. I don't think he can. I think Grandpa wants to have this, you know, maybe be in a cabinet or something. And maybe he will stop. I would love to, you know, I didn't like Bob Dole at all, but I will get the one thing that I was respected him about. He did resign as the Senate and ran for president when he took on Clinton, and I respected him for that. I didn't vote for
right.
him, but I respected him for that. I personally
preferred the, pineapple juice.
Yeah. That's a different goal.
Actually, you know what the sad thing is? Bob Dole was a decent guy. He had a great history, track record, his whole history, war veteran.
He's a war hero.
I mean, he was a real war hero. How he survived those wounds that he received at Anzio, his whole family and his... and then the Depression and all that, and having to live in their own basement of the house and rent out the... he was a great story. He actually was a decent guy. Problem was, when he got into Washington, he got all screwed up. And, he became a status quo guy. But he really was, he was a hell of a better candidate than John McCain or Mitt Romney. I'll tell you that. I didn't vote for him, but, he missed his time. But I think Chris Christie also, John, I think he gave more credence to Rand Paul. I mean, we're 3 years away from this thing.
Yeah.
So he's obviously nervous. Now, Chris Christie's got a primary. Primary. He's got an election in this year.
Right.
So, he may not, desperate, I think that would be, the fact that he wants to maintain the policeman of the world status for the United States and his fourth spying, keeping NSA going, open up Guantanamo, keep giving money to our enemies, and this and that, that's someone I can't support for president of the United States.
Oh, what about the positives? He would not limit the size of big gulps.
That was who?
He wouldn't limit the
big
size gulps. Of big gulps.
All right, I know
that the
when.
That's the best thing to come up with for that guy.
I know when John gets himself put in a corner. Yeah, he talks about big gulps and M&Ms and Snickers.
I mean, I will say, I don't know if you saw John. Since there was the Obama administration calls it the. They don't call it a coup. What do they call it? The fourth, no, they don't call it the forceful removal of an elected president. I forget what term your buddy Jay Carney called what happened in Egypt. but Rand Paul with some other senators were able to stop that Egypt getting some more F-16 fighters. And it drove John McCain and Lindsey Graham up crazy. That those four fighters haven't been delivered to the F-16 fighters haven't been delivered there.
Yeah, and they also, which I disagree with, want to support the rebels in Syria. I guess John McCain knows who those people are, but no one else does.
All right. Before we get on to Syria, let's talk about Egypt. There's a deal, I believe, that says, you know, if there's a military coup, all foreign aid shall stop.
I think it's a law, Simon.
Right. Okay.
Not a deal.
All right. Now, part of the deal is that, you know, foreign aid really doesn't go to the country. It goes to, generally speaking, the likes of, you know, defense contractors and Monsanto. All right? We pay money to companies right here, and we ship the occasional grain of rice, but usually, you know, it's guns and bullets, and everyone's happy. Why should we continue to assist Egypt? Uh-oh.
Go ahead, John. You go first. I've already been talking.
Why should we assist foreign countries? Are you saying, Simon?
No. Okay. I'll try this again. You know, because obviously you were in the middle of a Snickers bar. okay, John. When we hear about, you know, a million here, a billion there, you know, in foreign aid, that doesn't mean that we ship a whole bunch of dollar bills over there. Right?
All right.
Most of the help actually goes to you know, companies right here in the U.S., defense companies.
Right.
Yeah, and, you know, we can ship, you know, tanks, airplanes, you know, guns, bullets, etc. Yeah, or it goes to Monsanto and companies like that. You know, please ship, you know, these three grains of rice, whatever. And so, you know, foreign aid is kind of a misnomer, right? What we're doing is helping the local economy. Your comments.
So who's against that? It sounds like a win-win to me. You create jobs and help foreign governments. But foreign aid accounts for, I think, less than 3% of the budget anyway. I don't see it as that much money, but if you're saying creating jobs and benefiting U.S. companies, who could argue with that? Well, what's the beef?
Okay. What would be 3% of you know, the budget?
I'm sure it's a lot, Simon, but comparatively, the other 97% is more, I think, problematic, but if you're saying it stays in-house and creates jobs, why would you be opposed to that?
All right. How many people in the U.S. are living on the poverty line? I don't want an exact number, but you'll probably agree that, you know, it's a growing percentage.
Yeah, I think it's like doubled in the last 5 years.
Right. So why would we, you know, give money to General Dynamics, Monsanto, or anyone else?
Aren't you essentially providing jobs, giving money to companies to hire people who provide products and services?
That's a good way to view it.
Yeah, but you're a wealth, right? You should be all for that.
All right. But $1 million can go a long way in helping, you know, the homeless situation in a particular area. $2 billion might help, you know, 100 workers in a GD plant. Explain that. You know,
okay, what are these workers going to do? They're going to buy homes? They're going to stimulate the economy? What are these homeless people going to do? Go to the soup kitchen and eat gourmet food with $1 million? I don't know what you're saying. Like not
okay,
have,
okay, John. You know,
like you're
going to
buy them better quality food? I mean, is that what you're saying? Instead of letting workers produce and stimulate the economy through their spending, like go to Sam's Bar and have a drink and some chicken wings? You won't see the homeless doing that.
Okay, once again, John, you know, you have your blinkers on. And, you know, before talking to you, I thought blinkers were, you know, something that you only used in horse races.
Well, Simon, do you mean blinders?
It depends on which side of the pond.
Go with it. All right, blinkers.
All right. Yeah. Sending $10 million, you know, or $10 billion to a country in aid. Sure, you know, we've done nothing but, you know, help someone like General Dynamics. It doesn't matter which company you pick.
Boeing.
Yeah. Yeah. But take that same $10 billion and spend it in, you know, dragging down, you know, education costs. You can do a lot with $10 billion.
But Simon,
you could create a university with no costs. Where are we going wrong? You know, we're putting the money in the wrong pot.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree with you more. I think spend it productively, create jobs, and let people stimulate the economy with that money. Instead of throwing it down the drain, encouraging kids to go to school and study, internet talk show hosts, and which most of them will never use, and that's spending it productively. I don't see it. I think if you pay a company and they hire people, that's much more productive, and that stimulates the economy, and that's how you get GDP to grow more than 1%, which we're at now. We could be at 6 or 7 if we did stimulate the economy in that way, and everybody's a part of it. And like I say, well, how is Sam supposed to make a living if people don't have jobs and disposable income?
Right. So, you know, for once we're in sort of an agreement. You know, why would any government, and I know you don't like Obama, But it doesn't matter who's in the White House. You know, why would we spend, you know, millions, billions of dollars on foreign aid to support companies like GD?
Because it creates jobs, Simon. I thought we were in agreement there. And also, I'd like to say, Monsanto, what about all their R&D? I mean, they're groundbreaking in their discoveries with crop rotations and genetically modified seedlings as far as maximizing growth in limited areas. I mean, how are you going to feed the world if you don't have companies looking for new ways to deal with rising population and less arable land?
Okay. Monsanto, great example. R&D stands for research and destruction.
Unbelievable.
Yeah, I don't want to get into a genetically modified discussion. Because we'll be here for 10 years.
Saying you need research and development, and you got to pay for that.
Yeah. Development, not destruction.
Oh, and feeding the world is a noble endeavor.
Oh, come on! Even by your standards, that's bullshit.
Help me out here, Sammy. You're hungry.
Well, Sam's gone quiet.
I've been listening.
Sam, I'm not going to ask you any questions about where you source your food from for the restaurant, but you've got to have seen that GMO foods just aren't heading us in the right direction.
No.
Hey, Sam, what would you prefer the government spent money on? Defense contractors? People that would, from the plant, go have lunch at your place? Or feeding the homeless, or giving it to professors.
Wait, John. Number one, I don't have many defense contractors. You guys have all the defense contractors.
Well, if you have your choice,
you guys have all the defense contractors to keep the El Paso place open. That's where they all go to eat. They don't come to eat at Bill's place. Now, if you want to put a defense contractor in every city, and then everybody benefits, then you're talking. But
right.
we don't have any of that stuff. Okay.
Well, maybe we need more foreign aid then.
We have too much foreign aid. I mean, why are we building bridges in Afghanistan and Iraq when we should be rebuilding Detroit? It was not a waste of money.
What, rebuilding Detroit?
Hey, it's our country. Our tax dollars belong here, not in Afghanistan and Iraq, okay? I'm tired of rebuilding the world. But I understand, on the same token, I understand why John... And Simon, you're right. You know, these companies get what has to be reformed are the tax breaks, the deals, the huge. You know, we have to stop being a government of the corporation, for the corporation, by the corporation, and going back to that simple phrase that Abe Lincoln said: a government of the people, for the people, by the people. And that's.
Let me ask you: if people aren't employed by these evil corporations, how's your business going to stay open?
The big corporations now, they're all on Wall Street. They all make hocus pocus. They shuffle money around. They cut jobs. No one's working full jobs anymore. It's just except the bankers in Wall Street. It has to be reformed.
But doesn't your business rely on people having jobs and disposable
income? No, you know what? My business that relies on anybody. There's people who come to my business who don't want working. They might be retired. They might be on a pension or whatever. They might have worked for a corporation. Maybe they made some money investing. I don't know. But, yes, some people do work for corporations. Some of them, the majority of them, work for little corporations. And little, as the majority of Americans do, John, they work for small businesses, small government. Small businesses and that. We are and family-owned businesses. We have a government that crushes that. Your buddies, your corporations, want to destroy the little corporation. Give me 500 little supermarkets, not one giant super Walmart, Super Sam's Club. Those things have destroyed this country. They put so many people out of business, it's ridiculous. And they're not just on outsourcing either. We used to have four hardware stores around here, all locally owned. Great places. You could go there. People made good money, and they actually would wait on you. And if you needed a certain screwdriver, they could find it for you. They helped you. They did things. And the prices were great, and they were your neighbors and your friends. Those companies were screwed by the Lowe's and the Home Depot's because those people bought out the politicians to destroy these small ones. And I'm seeing the same sort of thing in the bar business. Who do you think's pushing for the 0.5 blood alcohol level? And they fund Mothers Against Drunk Driving, and they fund some other people, okay?
The attorneys.
Okay, and what are they doing? It's the corporations. It's the TGIF Fridays. It's all those things. Okay, they're the ones who.
Why would they be funding that legislation?
They're doing it because they know that will put small bar owners like myself out of business because I won't be able to afford to have a limousine taxi cab driver sitting in front of my bar to drive anybody who might have had one too many to drink because I won't be able to afford to get the tax breaks. And the grants and the beneficiaries, because I can't afford to have a lobbyist working for me, that they do. I mean, that's what's going on, and these are the corporations you want to finance. I mean, this has been going on since the day of the railroads, screwing the people with the politicians. You know, hey, the railroad's coming through your town, Simon. We're going to buy your land for a dollar, and you're happy because you bought it for 50 cents. Little do you know that the guy who bought it from you already knows how much the land's going to do, and they were selling it back to the railroad for $50, right?
Right.
That's been going on since the Gilded Age. And,
yeah, that's how Harry Reid made a lot of his money.
No question about it. That's how Stephen Douglas did, too. Remember him? Okay, so, that's what's been going on for, centuries. And,
I didn't know
Stephen
Douglas had money.
They're the ones who want the foreign aid. They're the ones who want the foreign aid. They're the ones who want the wars. And we have to stop that. And so I'm going to support whoever the biggest reformers are. And it may not be. We may be too late. I mean, because of what goes on. Where do they find oil? They don't drill for oil anymore. They buy it on Wall Street. They swap stuff, right? No one's drilling for oil.
Okay, Sam, you can maintain your ideological purity, and we're going to have more Detroits.
You're not going to know, John, because I'm also going to limit the size of government. That's the key thing
not,
here. You have your incestuous relationship, a big business and big government, loving each other, and screwing the people. And that has to end. Because if you don't have the rules and regulations, and you have an open economy with the right sort of government that doesn't punish people and doesn't pick winners and losers, crony capitalism or whatever you want to say, and you have an open society where there'd be more jobs.
The SEC is going after a hedge fund manager named Steve Cohen. They're not
How many
going
people
after
do you think work at Walmart? I guarantee if you did a study, wherever Walmart's opened up and a Super Walmart and a Lowe's and a this and that, there's actually less people working. The stores are bigger, but there's less people working than there were when they had all those other stores that they put out of business.
Absolutely correct with that statement. I live in a small town, and we have limited, shopping abilities, shall we say. The small enterprises, they're done.
Right.
They just can't compete on prices.
And not just that, Simon. That small mom and pop store. That person who owned the money stayed in town, and in the form it was recycled, the taxes invested, whatnot. Right now, the money goes like for any chain restaurant or chain business. That money goes back to Wall Street. where it's where the guys make, you know, oodles and oodles amounts of money, and they go buy 500 John Kerry sized yachts and things of that nature. The money doesn't stay locally. The employee salaries do, but not the big investment money, and you know, you lose all these the pillars of the community. It used to be your mom and pop small family business run stores, right? Those guys.
Now, Sam, let me ask you: do you think a Walmart opening across the street from you would help your business?
No.
Really?
Yeah, I have one. None of them come over here. They don't get paid enough money. No, excuse
I didn't
me.
Know that.
The only time they come over is when they get we have 25-cent wings. They don't make enough money, John.
I figured they would eat lunch there.
No, they very rarely. We have a Mark's, which is a poor man's version of the Walmart, and they only come over here when they can. Most of the business that comes in, as a matter of fact, they have people. The trucks come into the store, and the truckers they don't even have people. Well, stock boy. I don't want to call them stock boys. They used to have that. Now they don't have them. The truckers come in themselves, and they unload the stuff, and they stock it. So those jobs have been, and then truck takes off and goes back to where it's going. And, you know, times have changed. These big corporations, you know, I'm a capitalist, okay? But I don't believe the big corporations should have all the money and all the power. But they do.
I figured a Walmart would be a windfall for your business.
Walmart's a windfall for the Walton family and those that are in the high end up there. That's it. The stuff, I mean, and John, they play the same game. You know, you ever walk into a store at a Walmart or all these stores and you see the way the products are? Well, you know, you don't see many locally produced products in any Walmart store, do you? No, because those people can't afford to pay the rent that Walmart demands for the certain products to be at the eye level where they're seen by everybody. Matter of fact, they didn't even want local stuff in there. They want it all made in that. What's the name of that communist country, Simon, that we do business with? That evil communist country that everything's made at? Because they won't employ Americans, that John thinks these corporations, these outstanding citizens, will do. What is that name of the country, Simon? Where they
Iceland.
Is it Iceland? Is that where they make
no.
all this stuff and they pay 10 cents a day and then things of that nature? I can't remember.
I think you're talking China or.
Yeah. Well, let's talk about the corporations that outsource the other jobs to India. Right, those are the ones that, right, John?
Yeah.
Okay. The call centers, where you have people calling up all of it. There's no Americans working there. Because they want more America, because the corporations don't want people in America working. They want us all dependent. They want to keep us. Are you ready for this? Economic bondage. That's what
well,
we want.
Well, wasn't Jeff Immelt on the Economics Job Council?
Who?
Jeff Immelt.
Who?
Jeff Immelt, he's head of GE.
I don't even know who he is. Probably, I'm sure.
Wow.
Anybody in big business is on the Obama. You don't think he'll be on the Chris Christie economic advisory list? Of course
he will be. I thought you would have known this. GE not only paid zero taxes last year, they got a refund.
I'm sure I would have liked to get a refund, too, because I pay taxes. You pay taxes. Simon pay taxes. Peter pay taxes. We all get screwed. That's right. We don't deserve it, but we support this government. It is time. We should not support this government because it does do exactly what you just said. GE should be, if GE paid its fair share, along with the other sub thing that's come out of the Republican and Democratic status quo, non-profit or development corporations, non-profit that aren't non-profits anymore. They get more money than anybody, and they don't have to pay taxes on it.
Right.
Okay, those are bad things, too, and that has to be reformed. The whole damn system has to be reformed. And I don't think it's going to be, John. I think it has, you know, the only way it's going to be reformed, and it's too bad in 08 and 09 after we had the housing bubble burst, that it wasn't reformed. It was a perfect time for everybody to step up to the plate. But when we bailed out Wall Street and we bailed out those corporations, that was the end of any reform.
Well, Sam,
a question for you, but I already know the answer. You know, in the big bailout, did anyone bail out small, business owners that ran bars and restaurants, or you know, small business owners that did book reviews? Hell no.
How about starving writers? How about starving book reviewers?
Right.
Well, Simon, the criteria was too big to fail, if you recall.
And that's because they own the politicians.
That was the Barney Frank's standard, too big to fail.
That wasn't just Barney Frank. That was Paulson, too. Hank Paulson, John. The Bush. Everyone forgets, though, when that bill first came up, the House of Representatives voted against it. Remember that?
No, I didn't remember that.
The first bailout failed. And it was not Pat Paulson, that's an insult to him. It was Hank Paulson and all the rest of the ones, and it was a great movie that was done on HBO where William Hurt played him. It was very historically accurate. Went to them, and when they invented Tarp, he was on his hands and knees begging Pelosi to pass that bill. And it was the liberal Democrats who shoved that bailouts down our throat, okay, and bailed out Wall Street. The evil corporations. And they bailed it out, and they developed that TARP program, which is the biggest joke of all time, because there's a guy by the name of Neil Barofsky who wanted to throw three-quarters of the politicians and corporate people in jail, and Obama fired him because he knew too much. He wrote a great book called The Bailout for Wall Street, Not Main Street. I recommend anybody to read it, by Neil Barofsky. He was the inspector general for TARP until Timmy Geithner and Paulson got him out. Why did Paulson want him out, John? Simon knows the answer. Why did Simon want, excuse me, why did Paulson need that bailout, Simon? What was his former employer? Goldman Sachs.
I wouldn't know.
Goldman Sachs, the Monsanto of Wall Street.
Right.
And that's the problem. And, John, that's the problem. They don't play. And you know what, people nowadays, you know, the lessons of 08 and 09, you know, mortgage derivatives, bundling stuff. You know, my wife and I bought our house. You know, we learned our lesson. We got a good deal on a great house because of the housing crisis. We moved, got a better place, we were able to buy the place cheaper than we normally could. And yet, 5 years later, we are now being bombarded by the same damn banks, the same damn credit people saying, "Hey, you want to buy? Your house is now worth $600,000. You got to now's the time to refinance." I go, wait a minute, didn't that what got us all in trouble 5 years ago, and they're still allowing that to happen? Hasn't anybody learned a damn lesson?
John, I have to ask you, you know, Sam just said must bother you. You know, you're a small business owner, and I don't know how much you pay for your black SUVs. But
they're paid for.
His racehorses, his pool maintenance. he goes out to eat, takes Manny Bowling out to lunch every Friday with seven other guys in Southern California. That's going to cost you a fortune.
Right. But and I'm sure you probably have a couple of armed guards with you. But yeah. The real issue is, what's wrong with the picture? Yeah, I know you don't like Obama, but would Romney have done anything better?
Yeah, of course. Couldn't do worse. That's a no-brainer.
John, I didn't vote for Mitt Romney, but I think he would have been just as bad.
Wow.
Because of who his advisors were, they were the same ones who were George Bush's advisors, and I have to tell you, Bush is 75% of the problem that caused the 08, 09 in his policies. Obama has not changed for them. Very little he's done. Look, the stimulus program was just another bailout for the...
So you think Romney would add as much to the deficit as Obama?
Right now, yeah. Because you remember, John, he doesn't control the Senate.
And
I don't think he would have changed Obamacare because it was modeled after Romney Care. Let's be honest here. But I will tell you, I think he probably would have. I think if Mitt Romney was president, we'd have boots on the ground in Syria, and that bothers me because he's into that McCain crowd and all that sort of thing.
We'll never know about that.
Of course, you know, it's fun to be a Monday morning quarterback. No question about it. but I don't think we'd have much fundamental change, because a lot of his advisors were Bush's advisors and all that sort of stuff. Do I think Romney would Romney have found out the truth about Benghazi? Absolutely. I think things that would Romney still support spying on us? Probably more than Obama does. But you know, because he's a status quo guy, John. You know, I mean, he's not that. You know, I think he's. You know, I think we'd have a better. I think he might have done something. He probably would have stepped in the Egypt thing, you know, and things, because that's what an interventionist foreign policy. That's what he supports. Obama, to his credit, doesn't have us in Syria. I'm going to give. You know, I don't like Obama in a lot of ways, but he certainly has kept the reins on going into Syria, and I think that's a good thing.
Well, Sam, no president that I can recall has benefited Wall Street as much as Obama.
George, the only reason Bush doesn't get the credit is because of the crack. Oh, Obama's run by Wall
Street. Kind of big, isn't it? The stock market's double what it was when Bush was there.
No, I know he has. You know why?
Yeah, there's no difference in
Bush. That's why Steve Christie loves him. He's not changing anything that he tweaks. What does he do? He's a nonstop campaigner. He has the same buzzwords. He gets nonstop campaigns. He doesn't really change anything, right? But he keeps pumping the money into Wall Street. He can't bail out because of that. He can't bail out Detroit. I'm sure he'd love to. He blew it because he blew it with the stimulus.
Hey, Sam, you're engaging in this character assassination because he criticized your boy.
Who?
Rand Paul.
I don't like Chris Christie. I never did.
Well, I never
liked Chris Christie.
John,
you forget this guy. He's such an egomaniac, and his ego might be bigger than his stomach, which is pretty big. Okay, he was at last fall. I remember this. It was a debate at the Reagan Library. Nancy Reagan and all the Henry Kissinger and all the neocons were urging him to get into the race, and he stole the thunder from all the debates, from all the people that already been running, and he was playing Mario Cuomo, Hamlet on the Hudson. Should he run or should he not run? And he decided not to. And for about 10 days, he kept the media wondering: Is Chris Christie going to run?
Right, I remember that.
I do. Do you remember it?
Yeah, of course.
Yeah, I do. You're not supposed to do things like that. The presidential campaign was already underway. You blew it. You didn't get on the bus. Got off, Chris.
Sorry, you were
too busy eating a couple big gulps and 3 jelly donuts, and you forgot to get on the bus, okay? You were too slow to get on it. You chose not to run back then. And you got.
But he was kind of being drafted to run.
You can't be, but he wasn't. He was just all, it was all about his, this guy's an egomaniac. I've had enough of those guys. What has he done besides walk on the beach with Obama?
And wait a minute, I don't know.
And probably, Simon, you got to think, the way he eats, he's got to be a big Monsanto supporter, don't you think so?
Yeah. But we're winding down time-wise. At some point, you mentioned Iraq. And guess what? Our boys are out. And guess what? They're just, seem to be, collapsing into a civil war. Should we have got involved in the first place? Sam.
Absolutely. Back then, I bought the snake oil. I thought after 9/11, I thought there were weapons of mass destruction. I bought it all. So my answer back then was yes. I have since been proven wrong. I have no problem with admitting that. We should have got out of there. My son has served there, and he said that as soon as we pull out, he came back 2 years ago after his tour of duty. He said, as soon as we pull out of there, it'll be a three-way civil war, if there's such a thing as that. Sunni, Shiites, and the Kurds. And hopefully we'll let them all kill each other. And that's all it is. It's not worth it. And it's not worth it in Afghanistan. We just had 2 more soldiers get killed today. Of course, that was buried by the mainstream media because it was more important to talk about Zimmerman rescuing 4 people from an SUV.
And Mr. Wiener's Wiener.
Yeah. and Elliot Spitzer's whatever, and Chris Christie going and Chris Christie's belly. But anyway, it was. I don't think we should have been in there. And obviously, I think every day there seems to be a bombing there. And the only reason we're not, I think you guys would agree with me. The only reason Iraq and Afghanistan and even Iran and even Syria is off the table is because of the civil war going on in Egypt.
Right. And John, do you have some thoughts for us?
No, I was just saying that one of the few times I agreed with Hillary and John Kerry, yeah, I thought we should go into Iraq and kick ass.
And we did kick their ass. Let's support our military went in there and kicked the crap out of them. And great for our military. We should have got out of there. Simon, as you said many times, Americans know how to kick the shit out of the bad guys. They just don't know how to occupy a country.
We're not nation builders.
We're not nation builders. And that's what George Bush did. And
we should get out of
that.
Afghanistan expeditiously, because the same thing's going to deteriorate there.
Absolutely. Well, John, we agree.
We agree on a lot of stuff, Sam. It's just I can't say, well, if somebody doesn't support my ideas 100%, I'm not backing them.
That's okay. But I will tell you this, though, and that's what I got to say. For whatever reason, and maybe Obama learned his lesson because he screwed up in Libya so bad, and which I think he did. He's afraid to admit it, of course. That's why he's not in Syria, blessedly. But
also said if Sadat used the leader of Syria,
Assad.
Yeah, Assad. If he used chemical weapons, we would go in and you know he used them and we're not there. So remember that line.
I mean you can't say that.
He said
my wife uses chemical weapons in the bathroom. Yeah. Little spray thing.
Oh, Simon, they employed chemical weapons and killed people. You know that.
Oh.
I'm not saying we should get in either. It's just I don't think we should make idle threats. You lose respect in the world.
Oh, I personally don't think that we should get involved in Egypt, Iraq, or Syria. Yeah, let them fight their battles.
Let them build their own nation.
I actually talked to a friend of mine who was from Syria. His family, he's been here several years. And he said 80% at least of the people there support the regime and not the rebels. I didn't know.
Right. I know, Sam, you probably will disagree with me. But, you know, the Israel and Palestine conflict that's been going on for decades, you know, it's time for it to stop. Yeah, that they just need to sit down and, you know, become friends.
I don't know if that's possible.
Right.
I think, being Jewish, I support it. I support peace. I want people to be peace. I have my wife's sister lives over in the Golden Heights. I mean, and her husband, I guess my sister-in-law, and we're family over there. So we don't like the fact that they have to strap on Uzis and at any time, they could all be wiped out by anything. You know, it's a very volatile situation. It has been for centuries. Why won't they sit down? When the Palestinians say, we recognize Israel's right to exist, well, that's a good start, and they won't do that. And I think a lot of their problem is money. The people running the Palestinian, the PLO, a terrorist group, they need to have this conflict, just like our race baiters, just like Jackson. Certain networks, certain white people in the media, sharps need to have that race profiling. That's where their money's made. The same thing happens for the warmongers in the PLO, Hamas. If who's helping the Assad regime change the war? It's the Hamas that sent to and Hezbollah, right? They're the ones that sent warriors in there, and they're helping to turn the tide.
Yep, absolutely. And I'm in agreement, and we're out of time.
Gentlemen, I do want to thank you for talking to me today. John, any parting thoughts?
Good to be with you guys. I'm glad Sammy got the vent. He seems to have got a lot off his chest, and I was glad to be a part of it. And have a good week. And tell Jen I said hi, Simon.
I will indeed. And Sam, your parting thoughts.
I had a great time. Thank you. And I'm not going to let John have a monopoly on Jan because, you know, John loves monopolies. I want you tell Jan I said to have a great week, too.
Okay, I'll do that. Until next week, same bat channel, same bat time. This is Simon Barrett wishing everyone a happy, healthy, and safe week. We'll be back again. Goodbye.